Welcome to the show, and we have a very interesting guest tonight. His name is Len Kasten. He's written a new book. It's called The Secret History of Extraterrestrials, and he was gracious enough to send me a copy, and I've been reading it. Very, very interesting overview of the entire situation in terms of the ET, I guess you might say, interaction with Earth, as well as some of the history that starts back in the, actually the 50s, I think it is where he starts off. And so we should have a fascinating discussion tonight. I have to say that I am off the internet, unfortunately, for some reason the whole day, after a very interesting conversation last night. And I have to say that it seems like a coincidence, but there are no coincidences, so who knows why it is that I am in this situation. However, my Skype is working, so go figure. I assume the Skype is working off of the phone line somehow, some way, which I don't understand. At any rate, I do hope, I'm told my internet will be back connected soon, although that was back at 3 o'clock this afternoon, so I don't know what's going on. At any rate, we are going to still have a very interesting show, and we will take questions from the audience in the second hour. The engineer has graciously offered to answer the phone lines and relay the questions, so it should be very interesting to hear if anyone's listening and does want to ask Len some questions. I have some very strong questions in terms of some of the things that he is coming up with, and it should be very interesting. I do understand he is a good friend of Bob Dean, speaking of whom I just had dinner with Bob and Marcia Schaefer the other night, and I have to say we had a delightful time, and There was interesting conversation to be had, as you can imagine. One thing in particular was when I asked him if Wendell Stevens, before he passed on, revealed any new information, knowing that he was probably going to be leaving the planet, so to speak. And one thing he did tell Bob, which I can say, is that this planet is definitely being ruled by the Anunnaki. So take that for what it's worth. Wendell Stevens is a highly respected researcher for a long time going back, and I think that it would be interesting to hear what Len Kasten has to say about that. But that is just the tip of the iceberg. We do have some very interesting information coming from a contact that Bill has made that I think he will be releasing soon, hopefully, and we'll see where all of that goes. Let me see. I'm having a very interesting and fun New Year's Eve radio show on ArgueSoug Radio. It will be my last show on that network, simply because I don't have the time for two radio shows a week. That's a fabulous network. It is commercial free. It is out of Holland, and I very much enjoyed being part of that radio show network. However, my coverage is a much greater through American Freedom Radio, so I'm going to be continuing on my Wednesday nights, which is tonight. But I do have a fascinating show coming up on Friday that I encourage everyone to join me. We are going to go to commercial. We'll be right back with Len Kasten.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
If you own a jet ski and are tired of paying $40 to $50 for a gallon for two-cycle injector oil, it's time to switch to AMSOIL Interceptor. AMSOIL's Interceptor injector oil not only will save you money, the engine will run cleaner and cooler. The OEM oils lack in quality. Choose AMSOIL for all your applications, and you will feel the difference. Here's how to save money on your power sports products. Go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner. Once you're at the site, choose the preferred customer option and see the direct wholesaler price. AMSOIL will send American Freedom Radio a commission based on your order, and you beat the OEM's price. You deserve to have some fun this summer. Choose AMSOIL for all your equipment and enjoy more trouble-free service. AMSOIL is the leader in synthetic oil and filtration. Tell your friends about AMSOIL and AmericanFreedomRadio.com today.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Dark, funny, and mind-bending news. PSYOP Radio with Mac White and Smiles Lewis, Sundays at 7 to 9 p.m. Central, only on American Freedom Radio.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy.
I believe it could be someday it's going to come.
Okay, welcome to the show. And Len Kasten is my guest. Len, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Len. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. You have a fascinating book here, and thank you very much for sending it to me.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay. What I'd like to do is have you introduce yourself in terms of what your background is, because I have to say that in terms of what I've read, it seems a little bit sketchy. And I don't mean to insult you at all. I just simply don't have enough information to give you what I could consider a substantial introduction.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. I've been writing articles for Atlantis Rising magazine for 14 years, most of which were on the subject of UFOs and extraterrestrials. But actually, my background goes back about 25 years. When I was living in Connecticut, I've been involved in this. I used to have weekly meetings at an organization in Connecticut called the American Philosopher Society, and I had some of the early UFO people involved in that as early as 1985. So it's been a while.
Okay, but that doesn't really explain sort of how you came to this genre and what your expertise or your area of expertise is. I do understand you're sort of a writer, editor, and I had heard about the Atlantic Rising Association. But if you could explain sort of what is your professional background, if any?
My professional meaning my day job?
Sure. If that's what it entails. Are you college educated?
I guess you didn't have a chance to read the bio then.
If you could just for the listeners, not so much for me.
Okay. Well, I have a degree from Cornell University in psychology, minored in philosophy and literature, and I guess. The beginning would have to be the experience I had while in the Air Force at Eglin Air Force Base when I was obviously taken on board a craft, which I discovered later. And that's a long story in itself. But evidently that's what got me going because that experience got buried deep into my subconscious. And a few years later, while living in Washington, working for IBM, I joined NICAP. For some inexplicable reason, I still don't know what made me do it, and it must have been that experience. And that started out the whole long history with UFO research.
Okay, so you were in the Air Force, and then you had a UFO experience, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay, can you describe that for us?
Well, I was asleep in the barracks, and... At 3 o'clock in the morning, I just woke up for some reason, ran to the window, looked out, and just in time to see a craft go right by practically at eye level. It might have been 1,000 feet away, and it was glowing green and gold, phosphorescent color. And I pressed my face up to the window so I could watch it go all the way out over the Gulf of Mexico. It was silent, made no noise, and it was moving probably, very, very fast. And I still don't know why I would wake up at the precise moment necessary to go to the window to see it. But I went back to sleep. The next morning, the tower operators came in and said they had 4 UFOs on the radar over the runway. And at that point, I didn't even know what a UFO was. And they said they concluded that they might have been deer. I said, well, I saw something coming from the runway at about 3 o'clock. He said, well, you better go over and report it to the UFO office on the base. I said, okay, I will do that if I can find it. And I went and found it, and there was a captain sitting there with a multi-page questionnaire. And he was not at all surprised with my estimates of the speed of the craft, which had to be in excess of, I would say, 10,000 miles an hour. It was going very, very fast. And that didn't surprise him at all. In fact, none of it surprised him. He seemed just like it was routine. So I went back and forgot about it. The next day I got very, very sick with flu-like symptoms. And I had to go to the base hospital for 3 days. I later found out that that's not uncommon with people who have been taken on board alien craft. So then, as I reconstructed the whole... incident, I came to believe that perhaps I was abducted at that point and something was left in my subconscious. It didn't come out till 3 years later when I joined NICAP.
Okay, what year was this experience in?
It was in, that was way back in 1958.
And in 1958, you're telling me that they had such a thing called a UFO office on an Air Force base.
Yeah, well, don't forget that Blue Book started in 52. So this was the man who probably interviewed me was probably a Blue Book appointee. And that makes sense because he was a captain. And Ruppelt was leaning towards putting officers at these positions.
I see. What was your actual job when you were in the Air Force? Did you have a position?
I joined the Air Force in the Aviation Cadet program to be a pilot after college. And
Did you become a pilot?
Didn't make it as a pilot, so I finished out my enlistment in the weather detachment at Eglin.
Okay.
2-year enlistment. That was the deal. The deal was if you don't make it flying, then you just finish out a 2-year enlistment.
I see. Okay, and from that point on, you obviously went to Cornell, and I'm sorry, and your specialty was?
No, that was after Cornell.
Oh, after Cornell.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. And in Cornell, you took a degree in?
I have a BA degree with a major in psychology.
Okay. Just because it does, at least from my perspective, help to kind of focus what kind of information you sort of concentrate on in the book and maybe your approach. I was wondering in terms of, I saw that you studied the raw material, for example.
Studied what? I'm sorry?
You studied the raw material. Is that not correct?
ARE? No, I don't know what the raw material is.
Oh, all right. Okay. I must have misunderstood what I read there about you. You spent some time at the Edgar Cayce Institute?
Yeah, after I got out of the Air Force, I moved to Virginia and found myself drawn to the Edgar Cayce Library there, which was probably the best metaphysical library on the East Coast, if not in the country at that point. And I read everything I could get my hands on. I think probably that had something to do with my experience in the Air Force that must have been motivating me to do that, because really I had no connection with any of that information in college at all.
Huh. Okay. And so as far as the book is going, you seem to cover a huge gamut, and I'm just curious what motivated you to cover such a wide spectrum.
What motivated me?
Yeah.
Interest, of course. And the interest must have stemmed from that experience. In fact, the more I think about it, the more convinced I am that that's what happened. That whatever happened to me during that incident motivated me to a lifelong study and of this type.
I see. Okay, and do you feel that you've had other experiences since then?
I've seen UFOs after that, yes, but just watched them. As a matter of fact, shortly thereafter, I used to watch them go out over the Gulf of Mexico way up high, right from Eglin Air Force Base. I could see them up there.
Uh-huh.
So I've never had any doubt after that they existed. It was never a question after that.
Okay. But did you go through any kind of hypnosis or regression?
No, I never did.
You never did? Okay,
no.
Interesting. Have you just not been interested enough in that particular, you know, to go into your own history, or was there a reason that you stayed away from that?
You mean to discover what happened that night?
Yes.
No, I just wasn't interested in learning all that. I didn't have to. I didn't feel I had to.
Okay.
I felt I knew all I needed to know.
Okay. Why don't you, just for the people out there, because, you know, a lot of them haven't read your book, I'm sure, yet, because it's fairly new, although I know you've been interviewed at Coast to Coast, and that would certainly have reached a large number of people. But for the listeners here, could you describe, like, an overview of the book so that they kind of have a basis from what we're talking about?
Well, over the course of those 14 years, I've written 52 articles for Atlantis Rising, of which 8 were cover stories, and approximately 30 were connected with UFOs and extraterrestrials. And since I had to cover the spectrum of the UFO extraterrestrial landscape, because every issue of the magazine had to be different, I found that I was interviewing many, many different kinds of people for those articles and doing a lot of different research on a lot of different subjects. So I did cover a rather large landscape over the course of those 14 years, and during that period, I was attending the International UFO Congress in Laughlin every year, meeting hundreds of people there, interviewing some of them. So it just became a very obsessive thing, and I found myself really deeply involved in it.
Okay, and so what are some of the book our actual, what were articles in Atlantis Rising? Is that the case?
They all were.
They all were. Okay. Because there seems to also be a relationship between the chapters. Did you, try to do that to some degree?
Well, that was the amazing thing. That was when Inner Traditions came to me about the book. At first, it looked like it might be a compendium, but then as we analyzed it, we saw that there was definitely a narrative drive here because each chapter addressed a different aspect of the phenomenon. So it all came together rather remarkably as a narrative drive, and working with the editor at Inner Traditions, we realized that all that was necessary was some cement between the parts, which I then wrote for the book, and that put it all together. It just came together beautifully.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, I know that you're a friend of Bob Dean, and I just recently had dinner with him.
Yeah, I just met with him last night, and he told me that.
And I don't know if you've seen our interviews with Bob, but he's obviously a terrific guy, and we've got lots of interview footage with him. One thing that I mentioned, I don't know if you were listening earlier on, but I did mention that he said, I asked him over dinner whether Wendell Stevens had revealed anything that he hadn't talked about before his death, and that if he had anything new to sort of add or tell us about. And Bob said that he said that the Anunnaki were definitely running this planet. Have you heard that?
I've heard that from other people, and the story I'm getting is that the Anunnaki were intimately involved with the Illuminati and really with the power behind the Illuminati, but now they have faded and left the scene. That's my understanding of the situation.
Okay.
At this moment.
I see.
They ultimately came to be convinced by other ETs that their time had expired and they were to leave, and they did.
Okay, that's interesting. In terms of, I noticed that you cover the Serpo material, and you do relate. You say in your book that the Roswell aliens came from Serpo, and I'm just wondering where you got that information.
Well, have you read the Serpo revelations on Serpo.org? Have you read that material?
Yes.
As revealed by Anonymous?
Yes. I don't know. Do you know very much about Project Camelot? Because my partner in Camelot is Bill Ryan, and he was the webmaster for the Serpo.
Well, that's where the whole Serpo story started for me, was with Bill at Laughlin.
Okay, so Project Camelot is our project that we created together, and at this time we're somewhat working in tandem, and he's working on Project Avalon, and I'm working on Project Camelot.
Okay.
Although we worked together for nearly 5 years on Project Camelot.
Right, right.
And we're actually still working on Camelot on some independent projects from time to time. But the reason I ask you is because the Serpo material is very convoluted, and we consider that there's a great deal of disinformation there. And I just wondered what your evaluation of that was.
Well, my question would be, how did you conclude that it was disinformation? On what basis did you make that determination?
Well, it's fairly involved, but it's not that the overall, in other words, the human alien exchange program we have from several reliable individuals, it was and has been going on, but that within the Serpo.org information is a tremendous amount of disinfo, and that it originally came out of the DIA. I guess you must know that much, right?
Yeah, well, Anonymous was a senior DIA analyst. He's the one that revealed all the information. And the fact that Rick Doty more or less seconded it really impresses me, because Doty was on the inside, and if he said it did happen, and he felt that it did happen, possibly not exactly the way Anonymous described it, but essentially, I think that's a tremendous tremendous support for the whole story.
Okay, well, that's interesting. You know, my take on Doty, who I have met, is that you know, he was working, actually both sides of the street. He was working for a period of time for the CIA and also for the DIA, and that he was also sort of a convenient fall guy for people who wanted to sort of pin the information on him, that there is certainly some information there that is valid, but there is also a lot of disinfo.
Well, the entire story that I pieced together was from Anonymous, basically, from the 21 emails that he sent to the website. And I just took all the information that he provided with all of the add-on information that was sent to the website and put the whole story together. That's all I really did.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, as far as the way you go about analyzing the information that you do come across, is there any particular method that you use?
Well, what I do is I put it together with other information that I've picked up over the 25-year period, and if it seems to fit.
Okay, we're going to go to a break here. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with Len Kasten.
What makes AMSOIL motorcycle oils so good? Customers say they can actually feel the heat reduction. Shifting becomes smooth and clutches last longer. Throttle response improves, while more power goes to the wheels. AMSOIL Advanced Motorcycle Oils last twice the manufacturer's interval and are guaranteed. When you order through AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 100% of the proceeds go to the network. Try this. Click on the AMSOIL link, look up the motorcycle oils, then download the motorcycle oil white paper to see how the competition compares. AMSOIL synthetic lubricants and filters are the most advanced products on the market today. American Freedom Radio wants you to experience how AMSOIL saves you money on fuel, saves you time on maintenance, and extends the life of your bike. But performance is what keeps customers coming back. Dare to compare. Enter AMSOIL's site by clicking the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Get free of harmful chemicals in your lawn, garden, or farm. Use the products proven to work and restore vigor to your important food crops. Increase hay yields, as well as oils in seeds and grain. Check out AgGrand Natural Organic Fertilizers on our website, liquidorganicfertilizer.com. Learn how AgGrand's liquid organic fertilizers reduce costs while increasing yields. The products work great as a foliar feed and help offset problems caused by poor soil conditions. Call us at 1-800-579-0580 for more info. Converting to organic is fun and easy and is the best choice for your heirloom seeds. Take advantage of our liquid lime, sulfate of potash with kelp, liquid bone meal, and the menhaden fish 433 loaded with micronutrients. If you want better tomatoes, visit liquidorganicfertilizer.com. That is liquidorganicfertilizer.com for your garden, lawn, and farm.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Central, only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
There's been some kind of way out of here. Say that joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
That's the Lower Radio, and we are listening to Len Kasten talk about his brand new book, which is called The Secret History of Extraterrestrials. Len, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. So because the subject matter of your book is so varied, rather than me sort of picking various areas, are there any particular areas that you would like to discuss?
Well, I would imagine that the most controversial part of the book is what I said about alien influence in World War II. I'm sure I'm going to hear a lot about that, but nevertheless, I think that I did the research, and I think I'm going to stand by it.
Okay. Well, I would happen to agree with you on that. I have no problem with that, based on the information that we've gotten at Project Camelot. In fact, I'm at the moment editing an interview with Michael Schrat in which he talks about the Nazi Bell and the various developments in Nazi Germany that indicate that they were very, very far along.
Yeah, I know Michael. I know Michael very well.
Yeah, and he's a wonderful researcher.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. But What is interesting about that question is the fact that you feel that there was ET influence on both sides. Do you want to talk about the ETs that would be on the side of the Allies?
Well, my understanding is that Tesla did arrange a meeting between Roosevelt and Pleiadian representative in the Mid-Atlantic sometime in the 30s. Tesla and Roosevelt were friends as early as 1920, when Roosevelt was Secretary of the Navy, so he knew about him for a long time. And I think that Tesla was really the key representative of the Pleiadian Aldebaran. No, I'm saying the Pleiadian Andromedan group, and which did help us during World War II. I'm convinced of that.
Okay. So why? What makes you? I mean, I've always heard that Tesla was influenced by ETs, but I never actually heard that they were specifically the Pleiadians, and you're saying the Andromedans as well. Where does that information come from?
Well, the fact that he really helped us win the war in several ways, the fact that his radar patents made the difference in the Battle of Britain. Without the radar that was used by the British to fend off the Nazi invasion in the Battle of Britain in 1940 were all of Tesla's patents. They're all based on Tesla's patents. So that alone was a huge contribution to the Allied war effort. But there were other things going on that were more secret. In fact, Tesla was involved in an invisibility project as early as 1940.
The Philadelphia experiment.
No, 1940. Before that, he was working on one in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. I just think that he was the major force on our side.
I see, but what I guess what I'm really asking is, how do you know that it was the Pleiadians and the Andromedans? In other words, technology is technology, but where it comes from, which ET race, is another question.
Well, I believe that the representative that he arranged to meet with Roosevelt was Pleiadian. That's my understanding of it.
Okay, and you heard this where?
It was based on some research that I did perhaps 10 years ago, and I can't recall where.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, certainly. So So as far as the Allied support for World War II would have come, you feel, from sort of Tesla's interactions with ET.
Well, let's get one thing clear. We didn't have the wonder weapons that Hitler had, so we know that the aliens were responsible for all of the amazing technology that he had. But really, we relied primarily on brute force and on bombing, and the fact that Roosevelt was able to marshal so much industrial capacity so quickly to overwhelm the Germans in terms of air might and ground might, because we were able to produce what we needed to produce to win the war. I think that made the difference, and we didn't really need extraterrestrial assistance for that. It was just a remarkable effort of rapid industrialization, putting everybody to work, making planes and tanks, that ultimately made the difference, along with, of course, Russian assistance coming from the other direction.
Okay, so, but that would almost sound to be contradicting what you said before. In other words, what you're saying is that we did win the war because of sort of America, I don't know, ingenuity, the help of our allies, and at the same time, you are saying, though, that Tesla and some of that technology did help us get...
Right. We didn't have any wonder weapons the way Hitler did. We didn't have that.
Uh-huh.
But we had brain power on our side. Now, whether or not I personally believe that there was a Pleiadian representative working at the Pentagon as an advisor, but it's based on very sketchy evidence. So I don't want to put it forth too strongly, but that is my belief, that they did help us in terms of advisory capacity at the Pentagon.
Okay. As far as what was going on in the Nazi side, have you investigated that?
Yes, and I know that I'm going to get a lot of people asking me how I came up with this idea that Hitler's army was cloned, I'm sure. But, you know, it's remarkable. At this point, nobody has really brought that up yet, and I thought that would be the first thing that they would talk about, but nobody has yet.
Okay. I actually don't recall that. Perhaps haven't gotten to that part of the book. But what you're saying is that Hitler's army was cloned.
Well, it was remarkable that Hitler was able to come up with 21 divisions overnight, literally, and then he made that statement that was recorded by his secretary and put in the book, the Hitler book, where he said, "I conjure entire divisions out of the earth. How come you can't get me two girls for my Berghof? He needed domestic help for his Berchtesgaden place." So that he made that statement to Bormann seems to validate that that's what happened. I mean, after World War One, he was only allowed to, the Germans were only allowed to have 100,000 members in the military, in the army. And by 1933, when Hitler came to power, they were already aging. Most of them were veterans of World War One, and he had some raw recruits. He certainly didn't have a million-man army of young stormtroopers. And then he made the admission in 1935 that he had kept those divisions under wraps. Nobody really knew what that meant. Where did he get them from? In the Nuremberg Rally of 1934, he had 160,000 soldiers standing at attention while he walked down the aisle and placed that wreath on the tomb of the dead German soldiers. So, you know, it's all explained in the book. I can't get into much detail, but that's probably one of the more controversial claims in the book. And that was based on the fact that he'd had assistance from the aliens, who, of course, we now know have the cloning capability, and it seems to fit.
Okay, and which ETs do you think they were working with?
Well, as I said in the book, I'm quite convinced they were the reptilians, probably from Alpha Draconis and Regal star systems.
Okay. And do you feel that they are still with us?
Do I feel... what's the question again, please?
Do you feel that the reptilians from Alpha Draconis are still with us?
Absolutely. I think they just changed sides after the war. They came over and worked on this side. I think if you read the books, if you read Jim Marr's book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, I think you'll come to the same conclusion.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. We've actually interviewed Jim as well as Joseph Farrell, who is, you know, something of an expert in this area as well. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Yeah, I met Joseph. I met him at the conference at Laughlin.
Uh-huh.
I was very impressed with him, yeah. I was very impressed with his presentation. He's really a very interesting guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, there's no doubt about it that the along with Paperclip, it's well known that the Nazi scientists came over to the U.S. and also went down to Argentina. Are you aware of that base under Antarctica?
Well, I talk about Antarctica in the book, and I'm convinced that the Germans, you know, the Germans had their largest battleship, the Graf Spee, stationed off the coast of Argentina in 1938. They were sinking even merchant vessels, not allowing anybody to get close to Antarctica. So, you know, that base was definitely built as early as 1938. I'm convinced of it. They laid claim to all of that Queen Maud land for that period of time.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. That's very interesting. So I haven't gotten to this part of your book, but I'm sort of looking ahead, and I see that you talk about that there is a sort of battle going on here on planet Earth. And I wondered, what is your take on that?
The battle between who, I'm sorry?
Well, a battle here on planet Earth between sovereignty for the Earth and various ET races.
Do you want my opinion of that? Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that the reptilians probably are in alliance with the Illuminati, and that they're running the show worldwide. And that's the situation we're in. And I think they're probably involved at the deepest levels of our government, probably mostly in the intelligence community, also the Pentagon, and possibly the State Department. I don't know. But I do think that what we think of as a democracy really is not, that is not the case. I've come to the conclusion that it's more of an oligarchy that we're living in.
Okay. What about other countries and their relationships to say the one world government and or the ETs?
I think it was decided after the war that America would be the military arm of the New World Order, and that's where the emphasis was placed. And so that's where we put all of our muscle into military might at the expense of social services, really. We spent so much money, and Bob Dean will tell you that he's heard numbers in the trillions in terms of black budgets. And we were made the policemen of the world by the New World Order. That's my belief.
Uh-huh.
So the other nations are really not, aren't even worried about it. I mean, Japan has no military arm to speak of, and most of the other peaceful nations of the world have not even, just sort of deferred to us.
Uh-huh. And how do you feel about China?
China's a whole different ball game. I'm not convinced the Chinese are working with the aliens at this point. I don't think they are.
Okay. Do you feel that they put are players in this scenario though in regard to say the New World Order and the sort of because there's no doubt that they're challenging the Americans' sort of control over the military-industrial complex.
Yes, they are, and that's why I don't think they're connected with it. I think that they've built up their own power now to the point where they can challenge it, where they literally can challenge it. all by themselves, if they choose to. Whether that will ever happen.
Is it logical that they could, in other words, if America has certain treaties with various ET races, which is something that our various witnesses have talked about, then it doesn't really make sense that China could go up against such a power. I guess we're going to go to a break and we'll come right back and talk about the answer to that question.
Look around, choose your own ground.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and 5 other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Central, only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we are talking to Len Kasten. Len, we were just talking about the question of China and whether or not there interacting with ET races in order to challenge the dominance of the U.S. And your position is that you do not think so. And I'm just wondering, how could they possibly go up against the U.S. if they don't have ET support?
Well, I think what we have here in the U.S. is a dichotomy. There are two factions competing within our government, and I think also that we are in touch with the Pleiadians also, and working with them on one level or another. Apparently, according to Dr. Boylan and according to Dr. Michael Wolff, the group within our government that's working with the reptilians and perhaps the Greys, is they call it a small cabal that are running the show and are running the black programs. And there are many that do not agree with them and would like it to end. And I think the Chinese are hoping that perhaps that group will win out here, and so that it can all come to a peaceful settlement. But I think if we continue to work with the power mad aliens, then we are perhaps headed for a confrontation with China, because I don't think they are working with them.
Okay, but your information is coming from Dr. Boylan then, because Dr. Wolff is no longer with us.
Well, Boylan was, of course, very close to Dr. Wolff, so he's able to give a lot of information that Dr. Wolff knew about. Yeah, Wolf died in 2000, but he did leave behind a lot of information. And he left behind his book, of course, The Catchers of Heaven, which is very hard to get a hold of, unfortunately.
Right.
We have to rely on Boylan for information about Dr. Wolf, because he was very close to him.
Well, I believe Paula Harris was also close to
him. Yeah, she was. She was also, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So in terms of the overall picture, are you aware of the Super Soldier program within the U.S.?
I have a chapter on that in my book.
Okay. I noticed that. So that's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, I know about the program. And what I did was I just told the story of Andy Pero. I just decided to just tell one story about it, and I told his story, that he was groomed to be a super soldier and to be an assassin, and he developed incredible capabilities. Yes, I am familiar with that.
Okay. Are you familiar with Duncan O'Finian?
No, don't know anything about that.
I see. Okay, so you really haven't watched any of the Camelot videos, I take it?
I've watched some of them, but not that particular one.
Okay. Because we have several different people that talk about the Super Soldier program. One in particular is Dr. Pete Peterson. Have you seen that video?
No.
Okay. Well, he talks about there is information out there that comes from there, as well as other witnesses, talking about a super soldier program that China has.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. It was inevitable, I suppose. I mean, why would we be the only ones developing super soldiers? They know how to do it, too, I'm sure.
Right, and certainly Russia.
And Russia also, yes. It's mainly, in the case of Pero, it was primarily hypnotism that was involved in it, and convincing him that he could do everything they told him to do. But, of course, they were working with some very strong raw material, because he was a super athlete to begin with. So that could have been by genetic design. We don't know that, because his father was a graduate of the Naval Academy and was involved in his training.
Okay, but you are aware of things like MKUltra.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've written other articles that I've written for the magazine. I did write one article on MKUltra and on the mind control program that did not get into the book because it wasn't really related to the ETs.
Okay.
I did that research.
How about scalar weaponry? Have you kind of gotten investigating into that area?
Well, Well, the Serpo aliens claim that they won their big war using scalar weapons, and I think Dr. Boylan talks about that at length. I think we do have scalar weapons, yes, and I think the Russians have them too. And it's frightening technology, really.
Absolutely.
It seems to go through the time domain. It doesn't seem to be physical energy. It's energy that precedes the physical energy, so it's really scary. And I believe that it does exist. I don't know if the Chinese have it or not, but I'm pretty sure that we do.
Okay. What about weather wars? Are you familiar with the Wilhelm Reich technology? Because Tesla also used some of that.
Yes, I am familiar with the Reich-Orgone theories. According to, was it Bob Dean? I think it was Bob Dean who said that he was able to determine that we're probably the only planet that is not yet controlling weather. But I think we are controlling it.
I would be surprised if Bob would say that, because our evidence is that they're very much controlling the weather. Although I think it gets out of hand, I don't think they have complete control, considering sort of the blowback effect of trying to control one area over another and what happens as a result. Okay, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back and continue this interesting conversation with Len Kasten.
I've had enough of reading things by neurotic psychotic big-headed politicians. All I want is the truth now. Just give me some truth now.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Control zero out.
Control zero five.
Roger,
copy. 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Len Kasten. Len, are you still with us? Hello? Okay, I don't know whether we've lost Len or not. Hello? Hi. Okay, well, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot. We were talking to Len Kasten, the author of The Secret History of Extraterrestrials, and hopefully we will be able to get him back on the line if he has been dropped, as it appears that he has. In the meantime, I guess I am simply on the radio here without him. And perhaps there's a technical problem, and maybe our engineers can remedy that situation. In the meantime, I do think it is very interesting to go down these roads that Len is covering in his book. Apparently, he's gone a very wide gamut, which is something that Project Camelot does. And we find it to be a good way of getting what we call the big picture. It's not always easy to determine what is good information versus disinfo. And I think that is also a very big question in regard to some of the information that I find in Len's book. And I would be very interested if we were able to get him back on the phone to get him to sort of drill down as to his point of view. I'm actually texting our engineer and hoping we can get back in touch with him. Perhaps we were disconnected for some reason. Not sure why. Perhaps he only thought it was an hour show. That could also be a problem. You never know. But at any rate, at this point, what I'll do is take any questions from the audience in regard to Len's book and answer as best I can in that regard. From the point of view of Project Camelot, obviously. And in the meantime, hopefully we will keep trying to reach him. So if there's anyone out there who does want to call in, our radio show engineer is standing by to take your calls. And the phone number, I'm afraid I don't have that handy at the moment simply because I'm not able to connect to the internet, unfortunately, tonight. Just a logistical problem that I'm having here, and I was told that it was going to be fixed, but apparently it has not been. It is very interesting that my internet went down after the conversation I had late last night. Not sure how much I can say about that conversation other than to say that it was in regard to the bloodline question. And we're going to be right back after the break. We will be hopefully reaching Len Kasten if we can. If not, we'll take your call.
If you want the best in engine protection and need to go the extra miles between oil changes or worry about your car in the heat, you need AMSOIL, the original synthetic motor oil guaranteed for up to 25,000 miles or 1 year. If you're looking for a twice-a-year oil change, try our lower-cost XL Series 7,500-mile oil. See the whole line of automotive products and support American Freedom Radio at the same time. Just go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner. You'll be directed to the store. So for the best in fuel additives, gear oils, innovative greases, just about everything for the fleet, use only AMSOIL. And get there by visiting AmericanFreedomRadio.com and clicking on the link. It's made in America on the shores of Lake Superior in Superior, Wisconsin. Preserve your cars, save fuel, and help American Freedom Radio grow. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
You raise up your head and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, well, what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone? But something is happening and you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones?
Okay, this is Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're having a very interesting time of it this evening. We seem to have lost our guest midway through the program. Not sure what happened. Perhaps he thought it was a one-hour show, although we didn't say goodbye or anything like that. So it's a very unusual situation. I happen to be on Skype, and I have no internet connection, so I'm not able to absolutely contact that many people except my Skype contacts. And I do have someone who we can bring on for the rest of the show in about 5 minutes from now. So if my engineer is listening, then he should call Dr. Waterman, and Dr. Waterman has graciously agreed to come on. He's a very experienced radio show host himself, and he has a show on that's right after my show on ArgueSoug Radio, which is the Friday show I have at 11 a.m. and his starts at 1 p.m. and that's Pacific time. So that this should be very interesting. We've been talking about all sorts of interesting things, and we also have a very fascinating radio show scheduled for Friday that will have some amazing guests, and it's going to be a show on predictions. So we can definitely bring Dr. Waterman on for the rest of the show here to cover some various topics. But In the meantime, I am more than happy to take phone calls from the listeners out there, although the engineer is going to have to handle that for me and let me know if we have someone on the line. So I guess I'm checking to see if we have someone on the line with a question. Okay. If there is anyone on the line, go ahead and speak up. If not, I guess I'll just...
Hi, Terry. Can you hear me? Hi. I found your guest very fascinating. That was it's extremely interesting. By the way, I was at the L.A. conference, Awake and Aware, and I thought that was fabulous, by the way. You and Bill did a wonderful, wonderful job putting that on, and it was extraordinary. All the information that all the guests gave was incredible. It really was.
Yeah, a very special event, and thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And Terry, you know what? I've been following you for a long time, and you're one of the you and Bill are one of the people who made me very aware of everything that has been going on and is still unfolding in front of us right now. And I just want to thank you and everyone like you who do what you do to make us so aware. I was hoping to get a chance to talk to your guest because it was very fast. He's very fascinating, and he makes no bones about what he says. But I was wondering if there was a duality in what he was saying, that he was talking about, you know, the World War II, and I was wondering if there was any connection between this whole thing of the Foo Fighters, more or less, and the real ships that have been talked about over and over and over. And I'm wondering, Terry, if that means exactly the same thing, because I think a lot of people have questions to the fact that I think that everybody thinks that maybe there's a separation of that line of thinking. Now, guaranteed, there's no question, yes, there's the reptilians, there's the greys, there's the Andromedans, and there's the, I'm losing a little bit of my thought here because my mind is going a million miles a second.
Okay, well, there are various ET races out there. I get that part of the question. Okay, go ahead.
Right, but what I was trying to get to is that, you know, there's been so much talk about Eisenhower and the DOD when he left office, you know, what he said that, you know, if the government industrial complex is not held under control, that we would witness a serious change in this country. And I think we've already seen that. Now, I think that's all partially, at least a certain large part, due to that the ET races have had control for a long time, but there is so much disinformation about all that where do we plant our feet and say, okay, we know this is a fact, this has actually happened, but all the disinformation that's been taking place throughout the years, I think there's a lot of confusion with a lot of people, and they don't really know where there's a stepping stone or the rock to stand on to go, okay, this is it. Where do we go from here?
Absolutely. Well, that's a very good point, and it sort of is a jumping off point from where I was talking before the end of the hour, I believe, in terms of providence of information and the fact that, for example, Len Kasten does cover a very wide gamut of information, and he does cite various individuals, some of whom, in my view, are questionable sources. And that becomes a problem. And therefore, you know, you're right. I mean, there's no doubt about it that there's a huge gamut of disinfo, misinfo, and actual truth out there, and you do need to be discerning, and you do need to be triangulating in order to determine what is true and what is false. And there's also the idea of whether something resonates with you, and that's for me, that's the bottom line. And I think that humans do have that capability to actually know when something is true or false based on resonance. And that's something that we're growing better at determining individually. And it's just a quality, maybe you would even want to call it a sense, one of beyond the six senses that we do have. And so I think that's really important. I do want to interrupt this to say that Dr. John Waterman, and it's not his real name, has joined us very graciously, I understand, on the line with us to take over as my guest. And so thank you, caller, very much for your call. And perhaps Dr. Waterman has a reply from his point of view in terms of the question, if he was able to hear it. Dr. Waterman, are you with me?
I'm here, Carrie. I'm here, Carrie. Hi.
Hi there. Lovely to hear your voice. And we've been having some fascinating discussions, you and I, over the past, well, the past year, really, but even recently as this week. And I think that you would be a very good person to weigh in on the problem that people have in figuring out what is true and what is not.
Whoa. Well, as far as the topic of truth, or as far as what's happening with the ETs and who they are and what their agenda is?
Well, actually, I mean, both. You certainly can't separate them all that well, hopefully. But at any rate, what the caller is saying is that how does one know, for example, which ETs met with Eisenhower, whether or not the information that's out there is substantial enough to, as he says, use that to rest one's feet upon. Is it solid, for example? And then there's a whole, I don't know, I think you seem to have been listening to part of the show because you were right there when I Skyped you, but out of desperation when my guest disappeared. But the guest had been talking about, he's written a book which is called The Secret History of Extraterrestrials, and it covers a very large area. And therefore, what the question here was is simply that if you have information and someone tells you something, is that reliable? And obviously, one can't just go by one person that they get a piece of information from. And as somebody who has a background in the intelligence community at one time, I think I can say that legitimately. I think you're in a good position to answer that question.
Well, he had a question about Viril and Foo Fighters. Obviously, the technology has to be the same for all these vehicles to operate because it's the same physical laws in this dimension where we're at in this universe, this solar system. The physical laws, they have to apply the same kind of physics to make those craft work. So just because the physics is the same does not mean they're the same people. So that means, gosh, there must be others. Of course there are others. I think I hear Carrie talking. Is that you, Carrie, I keep hearing?
No, I don't
know. Oh, okay.
What you might be hearing back there. I don't hear anything else, but who knows what all's going on.
Well, I'm hearing somebody, but that's okay. In the meantime, let's put it this way. We all would have to say, okay, if you're going to talk about ETs and the fact that there is a nefarious agenda afoot with them, then more than likely there are more than one group of them. Maybe they don't even cooperate with each other. And I kind of like to put it like talking about the mob. Or the mafia. You've got the mafia boss in New York and the mafia boss in Chicago, which is a real big rabbit hole right now. And you have other mafia bosses in other parts of the country. But if they could knock the other one off, they'd be just as happy or happier. So really, we have nothing different from those that are on the operating in this dark agenda with the alien presence that visits this planet. They don't walk down the yellow brick road with their arms hooked together, you know, singing kumbaya. They would just as soon knock each other off for all the marbles. And so that nefarious agenda, those group of people probably have, through fear, intimidation, and strength, intimidated each other away or into allegiances or alliances so that there is a constant conflict. The way that I look at it, from what I was trained with and from the eyes only files that I have had and been told from, and my source is a man that was 45 years of counterintelligence in the military. What we're told about that? What is it that we've seen then? We've been told this guy Eisenhower talked to a bunch of aliens, or who represented Eisenhower talked. And of course, we're talking about the military-industrial complex. If these are good guys, what would we or should we expect as the result of that meeting? I mean, what should we be seeing today as a result of good guys showing up and talking to Eisenhower? Well, I don't know. I really don't know. But right now, I'm not real happy with any kind of outcome geopolitically from the federal government. I think it's become more tyrannical. We've lost a lot more of our liberty. There's more sickness. There's more economic stress. There's a whole rash of reasons to say things aren't very good. So if we had these folks show up and they were good guys, one of the things I'd have to say is, where's our free energy? You know, would that just be one question? So in my opinion, the fact that they approached the military-industrial complex and all that we have seen since that time has been destruction, war, power-grubbing approaches by, you know, the power elite. With that entity, that category of government, I would have to say that the visitors were not good. Those
right.
that came had no problem being bad guys. So
okay, but John, let's actually drill down a little bit here. The information that we have, and this is from a lot of witnesses. There are witnesses. There are stories that we at Camelot have gotten about specifically the meeting with Eisenhower, and the information that we have from a variety of witnesses, meaning
right.
that we are able to triangulate, is that there were Pleiadians that met, or Nordics that met with Eisenhower, and there were also the Greys and or sort of reptilian element. However, I'm not sure how they showed themselves, but that's the information. So that there were two different meetings, that the first meeting was with the positive ETs, and that their offer of sort of help and association was rejected because they did not want to offer high technology because they felt we weren't ready for it at that time. And then our deal with the Greys and the reptilians was that in exchange for the technology, the free energy, et cetera, that the black projects are using and have been for the last 40, 50 years at least, that they would be able to abduct humans and take genetic samples, basically do what they would like in terms of genetically engineering a hybrid race using our DNA. So that's the information we have, and I don't know whether you were told that specifically or not.
No, I wasn't told that specifically, but I could tell you that the man that trained me, the handler that taught all the things that I was taught in military intelligence, he would tell you today, you know, we do not have a happy-go-lucky group during that time frame. Now, during the time that he would have been the most involved would have been during that time of right after the war, the Eisenhower, the 60s, clear on up through Nixon and so forth, I would think it's just logical that, you know, you hear that kind of story. I don't hear any particular details of it, but it seems like to me that we still didn't have the kind of people in leadership that would have said, oh, you have these marvelous things to offer us. That's great. I think we probably would have to say that at even that time in leadership, and it's gotten worse since, these guys are saying, if you don't give us some kind of corner on the market of your technology, we don't want to deal with you. And I think that probably would be more likely.
Right, and that's exactly what we're told happened. And I guess we're going to go to break right here, and then we'll be back after about 4 minutes with the last half hour of the show. We can certainly jointly take some calls if there are callers out there.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
If you own a jet ski and are tired of paying $40 to $50 for a gallon for two-cycle injector oil, it's time to switch to AMSOIL Interceptor. AMSOIL's Interceptor injector oil not only will save you money, the engine will run cleaner and cooler. The OEM oils lack in quality. Choose AMSOIL for all your applications, and you will feel the difference. Here's how to save money on your power sports products. Go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner. Once you're at the site, choose the preferred customer option and see the direct wholesaler price. AMSOIL will send American Freedom Radio a commission based on your order, and you beat the OEM's price. You deserve to have some fun this summer. Choose AMSOIL for all your equipment and enjoy more trouble-free service. AMSOIL is the leader in synthetic oil and filtration. Tell your friends about AMSOIL and AmericanFreedomRadio.com today.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
Practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Dark, funny, and mind-bending news. PSYOP Radio with Mac White and Smiles Lewis, Sundays at 7 to 9 p.m. Central, only on American Freedom Radio.
Okay, this is Carrie Caspi and Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we are having a very interesting radio show tonight. We've lost our guest of the first hour, Len Kasten, who is a very interesting guest, but we now have Dr. John Waterman with us, who is a radio talk show host who has been, he has a very interesting background, both as a natural health practitioner as well as a background in the intelligence community. And in fact, your background is so varied, John, that I hesitate to even try to categorize it very specifically. you were also head of the American Patriot Movement, if I recall, at some point in your career.
Well, I was deeply involved in that, Carrie. The geopolitical scene was getting very, very heated. In fact, that's at about the time that Frank and I got hooked up together, and he began to tell me, you know, a lot about what the military was doing in the United States and the concerns they had. But he actually opened the world to a lot of this kind of thing that you're talking about to me by telling me which people in the military would actually be good, reliable people, and that the people he knew that seemed to be very involved, and of course, he knew Corso, so, you know, hey, he was the guy that he thought really had the real story on it. And so, you know, from that perspective and all the information that we're talking about, I mean, his father was a legal attaché behind in Berlin before World War II broke out. He and his father had a lot of experiences with the Nazis and all of their secret developments behind enemy lines, and he became head of military intelligence behind enemy lines in World War II with his father, who was a legal attaché there in Berlin, and that's who trained me. It's been a very interesting experience, but they started testing me when I was about 10 years old. And that continued till I was about 41 when I finally said, no, you're not going to do this anymore. And the only thing that I found out was that in the areas that they wanted me to, or they were testing, I was in the top one half of 1% of the people in the world that had whatever skills they were after or looking for. So,
okay, but those skills actually have to do with telepathy and that sort of thing, don't they?
Yeah, they're not the super soldier type of testing. It had a lot to do with putting puzzles together. The puzzles would be, I would be sitting there with a whole bunch of options, and they would ask me to put it together. And this links up to stuff like Aaron McCollum was talking about, where somebody else in another room would actually be trying to get me to put the puzzle together a certain way. And so apparently I was able to do that, but it also was how quickly you could assimilate. And mostly they began to test me on very cryptic ways of communicating, very three-dimensional ways. They wanted me to formulate stories and put them together and tell them what it meant. And so it was kind of incredible, really. The last time they tested me, it took 5 days. But, you know, it was really strange to be, for the very first time, be pulled into a house in the middle of nowhere, just a private home, and be tested, or to be pulled out of your classroom in junior high and go to the library and have the guards at the door and nobody's going to get out until you're tested, and you have maybe three people in the library being tested while you're there. And you know, I don't know. I really didn't ask. I don't know if my parents knew all this was going on. Well, the first time they did, because they dropped me off at this house to be tested. And I asked them what was going on, and they said, well, they wouldn't tell them actually what all was going on. So, yes, it's a really strange world, but Frank and I hooked up, and it was a very interesting experience. And in some ways, the world of undercover counterintelligence is exactly what you see in the movies. Other times, it's not at all. It's just good old hard work. Nothing exciting to it, but you do make enemies, and they do try and kill you. And then you know, have a whole rash of different topics, everything from geopolitical events and false flag issues and NEST. I don't know what other people think it's called, but it's NEST is the Nuclear Emergency Survival Team that gets sent out to, of which Frank was part of. So we could chase a lot of rabbits here, none of which, of course, would be on, you know, UFOs and ETs, but we had a lot of discussions about that, and I didn't see any eyes-only files or anything on it, but Frank has, and he kind of began to open my eyes to that and began to tell me, you better get this, you know, worked out. Yes, I was very deeply involved in the geopolitical scene with the Patriot community. Still have a lot of contacts, and there's a lot going on there, but I'm not as active as I used to be. In fact, I'm not active. I just have contacts.
Great. Well, that's something of an overview of some of your experience there with your contact, Frank. I think we have a caller on the line, so if we do have a caller, I think they've been waiting for quite some time, and if they'd like to come on and ask us a question, go right ahead at this time.
Hi, Carrie. Hi, John.
Hi there.
It's great to talk to you. I follow your work. You really opened my mind and my eyes, and I have so much to talk about. But you just mentioned Aaron McCollum and his thing with the Gulf of Aden and the Stargate in there and what's going on in there. Is there any new revelations with that? Are all those warships still circling that 3-mile area outside of Yemen, you know, and it's just not covered anywhere? Is that how can we prove that? Sorry, I'm coming early.
Okay, well, my understanding is that they are still there, and that whole area has been cordoned off by the military. There have been another number of earthquakes in that area, by the way, which is, I think, pretty unusual. Numbers and numbers of them, which indicates there's something going on there also, perhaps even beneath the sea. Dr. Waterman, have you heard anything of that area?
Actually, it's gotten reinforced in the last 3 months. Over the last 3 months, it's gotten quite a bit more active than it actually was in the past, is the information that I'm getting. And we're seeing a lot of very unusual activity coming out of that area, even geopolitical activity. I mean, they're even putting new dinar out for sale through the banks as speculative. The U.S. has its largest embassy, a very elaborate embassy of the world over in Iraq. And all over in that area, all down the peninsula and off the tip, of all that is very busy right now, and you probably think, well, a lot of people think, you know, well, gosh, they've got to run down all the pirates. It has absolutely nothing to do with pirates. Our Coast Guard, small boat as they've got, they could go out there and take care of that problem. I mean, if you and I had a high-speed boat and a 50-caliber weapon, we could probably take care of those pirates. So it's not that. It doesn't take that armada that's there to take care of pirates. So it's not that. We know that for sure. So.
Okay, well, thank you, caller.
But Aaron's going to be on our show, so he can listen to that, and
we might as well go to that subject right this minute. We are going to have a very interesting show on predictions, a 4-hour marathon show this Friday on New Year's Eve, starting at 11 a.m. Pacific time and going to 3 p.m. We're combining our two shows, and this will be my last show on ArgueSoug Radio, although I hope to stream this show on ArgueSoug when the technology permits after this time. But John, so we are having a number of guests, and we are also going to have you go over, because I think this is kind of a tradition, if you can call something that you're going to do two times a tradition. But I think we did something a year ago, and you talked about what your predictions were. And so what we will talk about is maybe some things that happened and some that didn't, and why not.
Right. and the guests will be doing the same thing. So I'm sure that Aaron's going to be getting caught up on that exact topic that you asked. So it probably a good time to come. And even actually, if you go, I call it our Goosog, so everybody in America knows how to spell it. But you can go to ourgoosogradio.org, and there's a chat room, and you can ask questions, and you'll be able to hear the broadcast from there. It'll be really good. And, of course, I think you've got a streaming link on your website, too, don't you, Carrie?
Yeah, I do. And that's projectcamelot.org or projectcamelotportal.com for anyone who's listening. And a number of radio show links are on my website as well. I also think I link to it from my Whistleblower Radio Show page. And I do want to say that my guests, we have a number of guests that are joining us periodically throughout the 4 hours. One in particular is George Green. Another is Aaron McCollum, as John mentioned. And then we will also have Sean David Morton. And so it should be fascinating. Sean is a well-known psychic. Fascinating show. And I have asked a couple other people, but I haven't heard back, so I can't announce those people at this time. But, yeah, that should be a lot of fun. If we have any other callers hanging on the line here, then we're happy to take those calls. I think it's Sean, I think that's your name, if you're listening.
Hi, Carrie.
Yeah.
Carrie? Hi, this
yes.
is Len Kasten. How you doing?
Hi, Len. Wow.
I got cut off, and I didn't know how to get back in, so I just...
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, they tried calling you. They got an answering machine. This is the kind of thing that does go on when you're talking about interesting stuff. And,
yeah.
So I'd just like to introduce you since you're here and back with us, which is just terrific. I'm glad we can at least talk for the next 15 minutes of the show here. We have to go. We have a Dr. John Waterman here, and he's a fabulous natural health practitioner as well as somebody who has a background in the intelligence community. And he's also worked with the, I guess, the would you call them, let's see, the militia movement, the freedom fighters of America at some time in his career as well. So it's a very varied background. And so just wanted to introduce you guys to each other, and he graciously...
Yes, I've been listening. I've been listening to John, and it's really quite... It's fascinating.
Lovely. Lovely. So, and he has his own radio show, so I do encourage you to also tune in on that. And he reveals all kinds of stuff. He's one of those radio talk show hosts who actually can talk for 2 hours straight without a guest.
God, that's not easy.
No, and that's a skill that I have yet to learn. So
right.
I do admire that greatly.
Yeah.
Well, being a professor of anatomy and pre-med kind of helped warm me up for that. So
right, I don't think I could do
so,
it.
So, well, Len, now that we have you back, it would be lovely to hear your take. John worked with, as you might have heard, his sort of mentor was this man named Frank, who apparently did have some background in Nazi Germany. And I just wonder if there's any kind of information, for example, John, that you might be able to relate to Len that would be along those lines. I don't know, you know, how much you heard about the show earlier that we were talking about. Len says that he believes that Hitler's army could have been cloned.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Mm.
I think part of it, this is a big can here. The Reich, according to Frank, was deeply involved in genetic research for a long time. And it originated, according to Frank, from off the planet. Now, that's about as close as I can get to a lot of that kind of thing that you might be talking about. So it's interesting, though, isn't it, that, you know, actually that probably is what got, you know, started over here. And, of course, it was under wraps by the federal government, and it had to go private before we unwrapped it completely and got the genome, you know, out for use.
Okay, we're going to go to a commercial. We'll be right back.
What makes AMSOIL motorcycle oils so good? Customers say they can actually feel the heat reduction. Shifting becomes smooth and clutches last longer. Throttle response improves while more power goes to the wheels. AMSOIL Advanced Motorcycle Oils last twice the manufacturer's interval and are guaranteed. When you order through AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 100% of the proceeds go to the network. Try this. Click on the AMSOIL link, look up the motorcycle oils, then download the motorcycle oil white paper to see how the competition compares. AMSOIL synthetic lubricants and filters are the most advanced products on the market today. American Freedom Radio wants you to experience how AMSOIL saves you money on fuel, saves you time on maintenance, and extends the life of your bike. But performance is what keeps customers coming back. Dare to compare. Enter AMSOIL's site by clicking the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Get free of harmful chemicals in your lawn, garden, or farm. Use the products proven to work and restore vigor to your important food crops. Increase hay yields, as well as oils in seeds and grain. Check out AgGrand Natural Organic Fertilizers on our website, liquidorganicfertilizer.com. Learn how AgGrand's liquid organic fertilizers reduce costs while increasing yields. The products work great as a foliar feed and help offset problems caused by poor soil conditions. Call us at 1-800-579-0580 for more info. Converting to organic is fun and easy and is the best choice for your heirloom seeds. Take advantage of our liquid lime, sulfate of potash with kelp, liquid bone meal, and the menhaden fish 433 loaded with micronutrients. If you want better tomatoes, visit liquidorganicfertilizer.com. That is liquidorganicfertilizer.com for your garden, lawn, and farm.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Freedom Files. Weekday, Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central.
On American Freedom Radio.
I hope that someone besides me can read my mind. No. Actually, this has been fascinating. So, Len, are you there with me today?
Yes, I am. I'm here now.
Okay, wonderful. And Dr. Waterman, are you still with us?
I'm here. I just want Len to get a parting shout out there for the rest of the program. I can ramble on Friday. We got a lot of time there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that, John. Len, so what you have right there, though, is some corroborating evidence that the Nazis did have some help with genetics way back when. And that would indicate that once you start going down that road, then I guess cloning is a big part of that.
Yeah, but I don't think they had the ability to clone in 1934. I think that had to be given to them. Hitler came to power in January of 1933. I doubt very much if he developed that ability in 1 year. He had his hands full with so many other things. Just getting control of the brown shirts alone took him about a year, so I think it had to be given to him by somebody else.
Right. So, but that that is exactly what Dr. Waterman was alluding to, was the idea that it came from off-world, that it would have been given to the Nazis from an ET race, some ET race. They did also get into the literature of the Upanishads and in India and talk about the Vimanas, and they referred to some of those texts, in my view, which I did talk to Joseph Beryl about, to get some of their information about the potential, certainly, of those kinds of vehicles.
They had annual expeditions to Tibet from 1926 all the way through 1942, looking for an underground civilization there, and supposedly they did make that contact. So I did cover that in the book also.
Okay, well that should be fascinating to take a look at. While we have just about 10 minutes left, and I'm sorry for the rather substantial interruption to the show, is there anything that you'd like to cover while you have a chance, and for the listeners, to give them some more insights into maybe some of your conclusions that you've drawn from the research you have done and the various writings you've done, and also perhaps where you might be headed?
Well, the bottom line here is that the cabal that has control of our government is not the one we really need to be dealing with the extraterrestrials at this point, because they are also interested in shooting them down. We've gotten that from a number of sources, and that's not conducive to good relations. So I think what we have to do is get our government straight in terms of dealing with the extraterrestrials. And I think Michael Sella has a lot of good ideas on that subject, and we probably should listen to a lot of his advice.
So you're going down the road of the exopolitics ideas.
Yes.
What specifically do you like about any of those suggestions? Are you aware of MJ-12, for example? They're no longer called that at the moment. I believe they call themselves Scion. But the organization that was formed by Truman, et cetera, I saw you had some MJ-12 documents at the back of your book.
Yeah, I think it's changed substantially now. I understand there's 36 members now. And supposedly the Greys got their permission to do the abductions and the hybrid project from MJ-12. So I'm not sure if they're being very helpful.
Right.
I really think we have to hope.
What is your plan? I mean, in other words, it seems like certainly everyone would agree with you that we don't want to be at odds with if they're friendly and positive, ETs, we certainly don't want to be at war with them, so to speak. But in terms of turning the government around and or MJ-12, what would you feel that could be a viable approach? In other words, do you have ideas along those
lines? Well, I think disclosure is the answer. We have to open it up completely. That's what's necessary, because the best minds on the planet can be then brought to bear instead of just the group that's affiliated with the military. We have brilliant people at universities all over the world that could help with this, with our relations with the extraterrestrials, and we're not using them, and that's very unfortunate.
Absolutely. Well, I know that it's too bad because we only have 5 minutes left, and so there's just not enough time here. I know that Dr. Waterman would probably love to weigh in on this sort of subject here. Is there anything, while I've got both of you on the line, John, did you want to say anything in that regard?
Well, I'd just like to say this. It'd be kind of interesting if maybe Lynn and I could have a talk sometime, because Frank was behind enemy lines in Nazi Germany, going into SS camps. You know, his father being attaché ends up being a judge at the Nuremberg trial, and there was a lot of this kind of information, you know, surrounding and all that behind the scenes that maybe we could chat about. And
absolutely, I would love that. I would absolutely love that, John. We should do that sometime.
Okay, great. Okay, Carrie can get you my contact info.
Okay, I'll do that. And yeah, that sounds fascinating, and perhaps you can even have him on your radio show, John.
That'd be great.
And I certainly would be an avid listener of that conversation, you know, because it's always fascinating when you can bring two people who have some information in this, a particular area, together and start comparing notes and see where it goes. The background music is starting up. That means I've got about 30 seconds, I think, to wrap this all up and have everyone give their websites and so on. So, Len Kasten, could you please announce the book that you've written, your website, and any other parting information you'd like people to know?
Okay, the book is The Secret History of Extraterrestrials, published by Unit Traditions. The website is www.et-secrethistory.com.
Okay.
And all the ability to order the book, you can order the book through the website.
Lovely. And this is Dr. John Waterman and Carrie Cassidy. We'll be on the radio on Friday, as I said, at 11 a.m. Go to my website, projectcamelot.org, to find out
more. Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Delete control of the all out. Control is good. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.